Today's the sixth day of our novena to the Holy Spirit. We ask for the gift of understanding. I noted yesterday that on the fifth day we pray for knowledge, and on the sixth day we pray for understanding, which to us sounds kind of like the same thing. But the tradition is that knowledge has to do with correct evaluation of earthly matters, and understanding has to do with right understanding of spiritual things, of matters of religion. We need both of these gifts. We need all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They help us understand the scriptures. Today's readings are both continuations from yesterday. The first reading is the continuation of Paul's final address to the elders of Ephesus. And then the gospel is Jesus' final address to his disciples at the Last Supper. Well, actually, he's not addressing the disciples. He's praying for them. He's actually addressing the Father. Let's start with that. The words of Jesus to the Father, but about his disciples. Yesterday, he spoke more about his relationship with the Father and being glorified with the glory that comes from the Father. But here, he's speaking very much about us and about what his plan is for us. He prays for us to be one. One as he's one with the Father. He prays that we be protected from the evil one. He reveals that he has sent us into the world. He's leaving the world. That's what we celebrated on Sunday, the Ascension. He's leaving the world in the sense of his physical presence is no longer visible in the world. He's not leaving the world as if he's abandoned us and gone to some far off place. But he is withdrawing visibly from the world, and in his place, he sends us. I sent them into the world. Just as you sent me into the world, Father, I sent them into the world. So you can see the mission of the church is a continuation of the mission of Jesus himself. Being in the world, though, does not mean belonging to the world. And this he makes very clear. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Being in the world does not mean being worldly. That's the whole point of the gifts of knowledge and understanding. Our knowledge and understanding gifts of the Holy Spirit help us to journey through the world, to serve in the world without taking on the mindset of the world. The gift of counsel is also essential for that. I think that comes up tomorrow. To be able to evaluate the practical matters of the world from a spiritual perspective rather than just doing things the way everybody does things or thinking the way everybody thinks, which is primarily selfishness, self-preservation. That's not the Christian way. Anyway, here's Jesus praying for us and consecrating us in the truth. The truth is what sets us free from the mindset of the world. In the world, worldly thinking is better to sacrifice the truth in order to preserve myself. That's slavery. But the Christian understanding, guided by the Holy Spirit, is better to live in the truth, even at the cost, which is sometimes a great cost, so that we're free to serve the Lord. We're free to be instruments of God, missionaries of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus prays for us. That's what he means when he says he consecrates us in the truth. It's so that we can live in the world without being dragged down into slavery to worldly things, worldly way of thinking, worldly values. Let's turn for a moment to this address that Paul gives to the elders of Ephesus. He started it yesterday. In yesterday's section of the address, Paul seemed to speak a lot about himself. He wasn't just boasting. You could say he was boasting in the Lord, but he was revealing what it's like to be a shepherd of the Holy, driven by the Holy Spirit, to be at the service of the flock. And this is what he develops, especially in this section. Speaks to be the leaders so that they too will be like him, servants of the flock. So it starts out here. He spoke to the presbyters of the church of Ephesus. Presbyters meaning elders. We tend to translate that as priests. And then he says, keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you overseers. So presbyters and overseers, those two terms have evolved into priests and bishops. Although it's not clear that that's what Paul means, but it's an early stage of the distinction between the elders, the priests, and the overseers, the bishops, the episcopoi, the supervisors. So it's clear that there's two terms, but it's not that clear what they mean in this early stage of the church. It's very clear now that priests and bishops are shepherds. And the first thing he says is, keep watch over yourselves and over the flock. Now, I'm the only priest here, there's no bishops here, but we are all responsible for ourselves. Keep watch over yourselves. The first sheep that we are to shepherd is ourselves. When we had our retreat a few weeks ago, we focused on the priestly mission that we all share. By baptism, we are priests, prophets, and kings. The kingly mission is to be responsible, first of all, for ourselves, and then for those to whom God puts us over. So this is what he says, keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock. Saint Bernardine, today's saint, stresses this when he's speaking to his fellow priests, says, or anyone preaching the holy name of Jesus. He says that the holy name of Jesus should not be proclaimed by a sullied instrument. So everybody who's going to be a Christian witness, priests especially, but this is true of every Christian, has to be take care of himself or herself so that he can be at the service of God and not simply serving himself. Okay, over yourselves, keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock, which the Holy Spirit has appointed you, over you, overseers. It's interesting. He says the Holy Spirit is the one who has appointed that. The Holy Spirit. Now, it's almost certain that Paul himself chose these leaders and laid hands on them. Almost certain that he or his companions, maybe Timothy, Silas, someone of that circle, designated these presbyters and overseers, but Paul says the Holy Spirit appointed you. Again, it's to understand that we're not talking simply about human dynamics or worldly ways of gaining power. Power in the church, which is for service, comes from the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're praying to the Holy Spirit this week, so that we will fulfill God's will. We'll do God's mission, not simply what is our human advantage. Then Paul goes on to speak about the difficulties that we will face. Everybody will face the problem of opposition, savage wolves, betrayers, people who are not living according to the truth or not consecrated in the truth. They're going to cause trouble. And this, you know, is true in every age, in everyone's life. There's going to be people who are deceivers and who are more fixed on themselves than on the will of God. But that's not supposed to be us. So he continues here. He says the Holy Spirit has appointed you overseers in which you tend the church of God that he acquired with his own blood. Now the scripture scholars like to focus on this one verse. We might not notice it, but it says the church of God which he acquired with his own blood. Well, God doesn't have any blood. So that's why the scholars trip over this. Well, he must be speaking about the blood of Jesus Christ, who's also God. But it doesn't say Jesus Christ. It says Church of God, acquired with his own blood. Some of the, they say some of the copyists, some of the people who wrote down the scripture, they wanted to change it say the Church of the Lord, or Church of the Lord Jesus, which he acquired by his blood. But it doesn't say that. It says Church of God. As I said, we don't probably notice that because we understand that the blood of Christ is divine. We worship the blood of Christ, so we have no problem calling it the blood of God. But you know how scholars are, they're very picky about this sort of thing. A little bit further down, he says something else that the scripture scholars trip over. He says this. Keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we have no record of Jesus saying that anywhere in the Gospels. So this is one of the few lines of words of Jesus that are conveyed to us by the tradition and not by the Gospels. Paul says, Jesus said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we believe that he did say that. We just don't know where and when. What's more important is to accept it, to keep it in mind. It's more blessed to give than to receive. This is, again, spiritual thinking. This is the way of thinking of people who are consecrated in truth, who are motivated by the Holy Spirit, not the way of the world. In the world, it's better to receive than to give. That's worldly thinking. Better to receive, better to gain, better to get advantage. Even if someone else loses out, I'll get mine. That's worldly thinking. But Christian thinking, it's more blessed to give. Because that's how love is. That's how love works. Love is more concerned about the good of the other than self. And that's the more blessed way. Because that's the divine way. That's God's way. Okay, those are instructions for us. Instructions for us who are sheep and also shepherds, who are recipients of the Holy Spirit and also agents of the Holy Spirit. We who are in the world, because we're sent into the world as Jesus was sent by the Father. We who are in the world but not of the world. How can we live that way? By following these principles that St. Paul gives to his disciples. Well, we are all missionary disciples. We cannot be faithful or fruitful missionary disciples without the Holy Spirit. So we continue to pray, come Holy Spirit, fill us and make us agents, make us instruments of the kingdom of God in the world.